Welcome to Market Mentors, a podcast for the marketing leaders of today and tomorrow. I'm Fiona Jensen, a director and co-owner of Market Recruitment. For over a decade, I've been helping B2B marketeers find the best jobs with great companies. Together, we'll discover how marketing experts reach the top and learn from their experience. Ask career-related questions you can't get answers to elsewhere. Be tough, be challenged, be mentored. Scott Brinker needs no introduction. Thanks to his passion, influence, and being an all-round nice guy within MarTech, creator of the infamous MarTech infographic, editor-in-chief of chiefmartech.com, program chair of MarTech Conference, and VP of Platform Ecosystem at HubSpot. Scott shares his insights of the MarTech space, why he's passionate about it, and what the future could look like. We chat about the skills and different roles marketers play with technology, and Scott shares some examples of people we could all learn from, who are now CMOs, but have come from a MarTech background.
Scott, you don't really need much of an introduction, if I'm honest, to my audience. So B2B marketers in the tech industry in London and the South East will already understand and appreciate who you are. Thanks to you being the VP Platform Ecosystem of HubSpot, editor of Chief MarTech Program, chair of MarTech, and also thanks to that lovely infographic of yours that keeps growing year on year. I'm not sure if our screens are going to be big enough next year or this year, Scott.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Thanks ever so much for taking some time to come on Market Mentors for us. We really appreciate it. I suppose what we're keen to do, Scott, is get your take with regards to a MarTech slant for marketing careers for B2B marketers in the tech space. So I suppose just in case anyone isn't aware of or hasn't really understood where you come from and what your experience is, can you give us a quick summary of how you've got to where you are today?
Sure. So my background is really as a software entrepreneur. I was initially creating software for marketers, did work for productizing software for marketers, but also a fair amount of consulting and custom web development in the early days of the web. And so, yeah, I just found myself interacting between those two worlds of technologists and IT teams on one side and marketing organizations on the other, and just became really fascinated with the increasing synergy and interplay between them.
Absolutely. It's a very interesting space. And as you say, marketeers, we do love our toys. We do love our shiny new things. And obviously that encourages with regards to the volume that's happened, but also, technology is moving so fast. How many companies are there now on that lovely infographic of yours?
Oh boy, I don't know if I would use the word lovely, but some people would call it more of an eyesore, I suspect. But it charts over 7,000 different marketing related software solutions at this point.
Wow. To sort of really cut it down, what sort of companies, what is MarTech really? What gets a company onto that infographic and list of yours?
So the definition's pretty easy. I mean, it's really technology used by marketers, marketing technology. And so the majority of the applications that are cataloged there are applications that were written explicitly for marketers, really dedicated to some sort of marketing activity. But there's also a section of the chart that talks about some of the things around like project management tools, some of the tools that people are using around agile management that aren't specific to marketers. Other professionals use them too, but we find that marketers are using them so much as a part of their marketing stack that we include them on the graphic as well.
Got you. So I'm thinking probably the likes of Trello and companies like that, maybe?
Exactly.
Perfect. So as you said, you've now got over 7,000 companies on that list, an infographic of yours now. How do you keep up with it all, let alone how do us as marketers manage to keep up with it all?
Yeah, I don't know that I actually keep up with all of it at this point. We're continually hearing about new companies that we somehow missed in our research, no matter how thorough we try to be. It's just because, I mean, the simple version to this, or I guess the simple answer to what is a complex environment is, it's just become so easy for anyone to create software. And in a digital world, so many companies are now building software as a part of what they have to offer their customers. So even like services companies, you know, now have software apps for marketers as well too. And so on one hand, this is great, right? There's this explosion of all this innovation, all these minds that are working, you know, on how to solve things for marketers or to make life better, to, you know, innovate marketing in cool ways. But the other side of that is like, okay, well, yeah, we've got so many people doing that. It's impossible for, you know, any one marketer to, you know, survey the entire landscape and be like, okay, I got my head around all of this. I think it's, economists have this term that they call satisficing, which is the idea that in real life, it's actually very hard to make a perfect decision because it's just the cost it would have for you to get all the information to make the absolute perfectly optimized decision, it's just not worth it, you know. But that being said, you know, like you can do enough research to make a decision for things that meet your need, that are right for you. And at the end of the day, that's actually a perfectly fine way to make a decision that, you know, it really should be less about the software and more about, okay, do you have the right tools as a marketer to deliver the vision and the outcomes that you're responsible for?
Got you. So if you're a marketer, what tips do you have for them to help them when it comes to selecting the right sort of MarTech stack for their business? You know, if you are a marketer who's trying to maybe set something up for a company, and as you say, if you've got so many options and so many different things to do, what sort of approach would you suggest they take?
Well, I think the first thing is to start with some foundational pieces, right? Like most marketers, you know, you need some sort of, like CRM or customer database. You know that you're going to need whatever platform you're using for your web properties. You're going to need some sort of solution for email marketing or more broadly marketing automation for, managing campaigns. You know, so there's like a handful of like just fundamental capabilities that, to be honest, like, yeah, for most marketers, like if you get those pieces and you learn to use them really well, that actually covers the, you know, like 80% of what modern marketing is still all about. And then at that point in time, what I usually recommend is for those foundational systems, if you choose a software package that has a open platform, you know, that it's not just a closed box, but they've opened up their APIs, they're now working with other app partners across the marketing tech landscape, then as you start to grow and you find you have more needs that are perhaps more specialized to the work you're doing, then look to bring in apps from that platform ecosystem. And the advantage of that is like, okay, ideally then if the platform and the app developer have done their job right, you don't have to worry about, you know, all the mechanics of, hey, how do I integrate these two things together? Increasingly, they should just kind of plug in together. I mean, it's not quite as simple as like installing an app on your mobile phone, but that's kind of where we're all aspiring to get to.
Yeah, that sort of barrier or resistance is coming away, isn't it? Often if they know what they're doing.
It is definitely shifting the landscape. Like for years, people used to say you had this choice between a suite or the best of breed, you know, and if it's the suite, everything would be nicely integrated, but the downside was you were limited to just what was in that suite. Versus, like, if you go best of breed, okay, yeah, sure, you can pick, you know, the very best capabilities from the entire landscape, but all the onus is on you to figure out how to, you know, connect all the wires together. And the industry is basically like, okay, this is a false dichotomy. You shouldn't have to be choosing between these two things. This vision of platform ecosystems is to say, hey, let's get a common foundation, you know, that helps with the coherence of all these different things we could do, but then use that ecosystem of more specialized apps to augment your particular marketing stack for whatever additional capabilities you need.
Got you. Absolutely. So let's say that you're a marketer and you've decided, you know, you found your CRM system and your email or marketing automation tool, and things have been going well. So you're developing the right sort of demand and leads for the team and the sales team are happy. And now what you're looking to is obviously build out that team. What sort of tips do you have for them around hiring and building a team around MarTech stacks? Any insights there, Scott?
Yeah, it's interesting. We're actually just doing some writing on this very topic of the different kinds of roles. And a lot of this comes down to the size of your company, right? Like, you know, if, you know, for a smaller marketing team, the reality is people just have to wear multiple hats, you know. And so the number one hat that matters is that you've got a marketer who their focus is actually on the marketing itself. It's like, how do I create things that generate, you know, attract, engage, and delight customers? And that you want people who are comfortable working with MarTech tools, but for them, it's not really about the tool. It's very much about, okay, well, what am I able to execute with? It's the artist who's like, okay, yes, you know, paints and brushes and palette matter, but, you know, my vision is focused on, you know, what actually gets created on that canvas. I think as you start to get a little bit larger and you start to have multiple people working in marketing, there very often becomes value to having a role in what most people now call marketing operations, which is having like, okay, I'm going to take responsibility for managing our stack of software. I'm going to take responsibility for managing, you know, the customer, you know, prospect database. I'll be able to handle things around reporting and analytics insights into what we're doing. You know, and basically someone who becomes a support role for the marketers who are then still focused on the things they're actually creating, you know, for prospect and customer experience.
Got you. And then what's the relationship then between marketing ops and the IT department?
So generally speaking, you know, it's fascinating. Once upon a time, we used to say, okay, well, if there's any piece of software, then basically the IT department's responsible for it. But that was 20 years ago when, frankly, there was a relatively narrow set of software that was used throughout businesses. And like at this point, oh my goodness, in the cloud, I mean, it isn't just marketing that's dealing with, you know, all these different apps. I mean, every department, sales and finance and HR, you know, all these different things. And so the IT role has evolved to in many ways being, okay, IT isn't going to manage every single one of these apps for every department. Right. You know, like it's not what their expertise is. You know, what generally now you see IT departments doing is saying, okay, we're going to focus on some of the common foundational systems that span multiple departments. And we're also gonna, you know, serve in that role of almost like a governance, you know, like, okay, well, listen, we need to make sure that, you know, different departments may use different apps, but we wanna make sure things like, you know, service level agreements and security reviews and compliance with privacy policies and things like this, you know, just like you have governance over finance, you know, within accounting, you have governance over, you know, technology company-wide from IT. But then what you see with the marketing ops person or the marketing ops team is they're really the ones focused on for these marketing systems actually running them on a day-by-day basis, like, okay, you know, like, how am I building these lists and these campaigns? What are the workflows we're doing on this? You know, what sort of reporting, you know, does, you know, the CMO want to be able, you know, view the performance, you know, of these different initiatives that are being run? I mean, there's a lot of that stuff that the IT department has no interest in doing. They're very happy to have the marketing ops team taking on that work.
Got you. And then when we're talking about marketing ops, I mean, that's quite a generalist term, as you've already mentioned. And I caught one of your tweets caught my eye recently. So you tweeted and posted specifically about marketing technologist archetypes, as you see it. So the maestro, modeler, marketing maker and marketeer. Where do you think the demand will be for most of those skill sets? And can you just give us a sort of insight or summary into, you know, what those four different roles are in your head and what, which I suppose you think might be the hardest to hire for?
Sure. You know, so I should start by disclaiming that, yeah, this is a way of looking at roles. And in larger companies, you'll certainly have individuals in each of these roles who have specialized. But for smaller companies, it's totally fine to have one individual wear multiple hats. But the 2x2, I mean, necessity often demands it. You know, so the 2x2 there of that, you know, marketing technologist roles, we're saying, okay, lots of people in marketing are deeply into marketing software at this point, but there is this different orientation, and the two axes were an internal orientation to an external orientation, where like an internal orientation is really focused on stakeholders inside the company, you know, so these supporting roles, these operations roles, these analytics roles, versus on the external orientation, it's very much about, okay, how do we build and create things that actually touch prospects and customers. And then the other axis is like from a process orientation, which is like, okay, how do we actually get all this stuff to move and flow? And in the context of customers or prospects, this is what we think of as the buyer's journey or the customer journey, right? That's a very process view. Most campaigns and marketing programs have a certain process dimension to them. Versus the other side of that is, you know, more of a technology orientation of, okay, you know, how do we actually build out, you know, these systems, or, you know, how do I focus on building an application? And so, yeah, if you take a look at that 2x2, yeah, you've got, you know, marketers who are very much, you know, they're using MarTech every day. They're focused on the customer journey process. It's very much an external orientation. But then the other archetypes are like, yeah, that maestro, that operations orchestrator, they're focused on process too, but it's more of a supporting role for internal stakeholders, the actual administration of these systems, the running of the workflow, you know, the governance of, you know, okay, how do these things, how do we make sure we're properly using data in the right context? The modelers dig a little bit deeper. They go down more to the technology side of internal orientation for like, okay, well, you know, this is where like data scientists and data engineers and people are like, okay, you know, how do we really get our arms around the infrastructure to support all this incredible data? And then, yeah, that last category of what I call marketing makers, which, I mean, again, historically, like the non-fancy title for it would be like a web developer, an app developer, you know, people who are building things that impact customer experience, but they bring a little bit of that, you know, technology depth to their work. So that's that whole spectrum, yeah. As far as to like, which is the hardest.
Very interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, I don't think someone sort of pointed out or thought about those different, you know, sort of skill sets and approaches. But when I saw it, it really did make sense. So carry on with that exploration. Keep
excellent, excellent.
We're all learning as you go, Scott.
I am learning too. It's an adventure.
So with all of this in mind, what do you think the future is regarding MarTech as a career? Where do you see the future lying for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think It's interesting. Like, if we take that one quadrant for marketers, it's just really the case that everyone in marketing is going to get more and more fluent with using technology as an integral part of their work, of their profession. So, you know, I don't know if someone necessarily has to think of themselves as a quote unquote marketing technologist. You know, there's a lot of value for most people in marketing really being focused on the art of marketing itself. It's just, yeah, it's the next generation of what marketing is, you know. And then I think there is a subset of people who there's tremendous opportunity just given all these systems and given all the, you know, data opportunities and the building out of custom applications, you know, certainly for people who are interested in more of those dimensions to support the marketing mission. There's pretty much unlimited demand at this point for this. Like we have more demand than supply. So there's definitely, if your inclinations are that way, there's definitely great professional opportunities.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, in our experience, obviously hiring B2B marketers into the tech space, we've seen more and more demand for people who have experience of either certain systems or who get things like marketing automation. It's almost a tick in the box now versus a nice to have. So I agree with you. I don't think it's going to go away. I think demand's going to increase. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with that over the next few years with the number of you know, systems that are coming in and through all the time. Do you think there's a potential that we're going to see a sort of MarTech CMO in the future, or a CMT, shall we say? What do you think that sort of likelihood is?
They have the title of a CMO, but now we see a number of them that have come up from very strong technology backgrounds. In fact, these are some of the people I come invite to come speak at the MarTech conference. Like just one that comes to mind as an example is Rishi Dave, who is the CMO of Vonage. I mean, actually, he started his career as like a chemical engineer or something like that, and then got into, you know, digital infrastructure and digital architecture and, you know, moved into marketing. But yeah, he's a CMO. He's a terrific CMO, but you know, he brings a very strong engineering and technology perspective to how, yeah, a modern marketing department can operate.
Very interesting. Thank you. Is there, who else would you suggest we should be watching or keeping up with then in your field? Who do you think are the sort of high flyers who we can all learn from?
Oh, goodness. There's a ton of them. Another one, Mayur Gupta, who is the CMO of Freshly, which is a direct-to-consumer brand in the States. Another fellow who his background was as a software engineer at Sapient Nitro, you know, and then, yeah, increasingly grew to run, you know, technology management at Kimberly-Clark for the marketing department, you know, and then went on to help Spotify with marketing and growth. And yeah, I mean, it's fascinating to see these people who have evolved into marketing leadership positions from a technology technical background.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's quite interesting, as you say. Which companies do you think use or utilize MarTech most effectively? And what you know, sort of makes you cite them versus others?
I mean, again, there's just so many. I would say when you're looking for a rich set of examples, the best place to start is actually the digital natives, you know, the companies like SaaS companies, you know, direct-to-consumer brands, you know, these subscription services, e-commerce companies. I mean, basically all of these companies that grew up in an environment where, okay, the way they win customers and retain them and grow those relationships is all through digital engagement. You find that, yeah, I mean, those marketing departments, I mean, they were basically built from the ground up to have that sort of digital DNA really just wired into their bones. I mean, there's a lot of examples of other traditional companies that have made the conversion. This is what we call digital transformation, of course. But yeah, if you want easy access to like, oh, who does a really great job of this? Yeah, I mean, you can sort of look to the digital natives and you're like, yeah, okay, I guess, yeah, Netflix does do a pretty good job of this now.
There we go. So if you were a marketer wanting to focus more on MarTech as a career rather than, you know, being too much of a generalist, where would you spend your time and what sort of things would you be doing or focusing on to succeed?
So I think I would look at those archetypes, because you know, I mean, you certainly would want to get experience across all of them, but you know, there is a very different emphasis between saying, okay, well, what I want to focus on is really the operational element of the marketing organization. And so again, I'm going to be running, you know, the workflows and the automations and the stack and how all this stuff gets connected together. I mean, yeah, you can just dig, you know, incredibly deep into that field versus like, okay, well, if you really want to get good at the analytics side of it, then yeah, I mean, you know, do one of those online degrees for like data science or something like this. Dig into like getting really comfortable with managing just the volume of data that, you know, we have at our fingertips now and using it to drive insights and, you know, be able to set the structure in place to support all sorts of cool personalization and things like that. If you want to go more on the marketing maker side, take a course in building web apps. You know, they're actually not that hard to get started with this stuff. And you learn a lot
as a software engineer
about what's possible. Well, it keeps getting easier. All these things of like, you hear the phrase citizen developers. You know, there's so many tools out here now that you don't have to be like a hardcore software engineer to be able to actually just start to build some really useful apps. So it's pretty cool.
Lovely. Okay. Yeah, really good. And what do you think the main challenges are for MarTech in the short term, shall we say? And what does the future hold for the sector?
So I think the number one challenge that I feel like probably everyone in business has these days, but certainly, you know, people in marketing and MarTech feel it very acutely, is keeping up with the pace of change. There's just been so much of this, which is so new. And to be honest, while the technology is incredibly innovative and it's going through these very rapid iterations of improvements, the challenges for most like professionals and for most organizations, they just don't change that quickly. You know, it takes a while to really understand, okay, how do we adapt the way we run our business with this? How do we adapt our management process? You know, should we be changing like incentive structures? How do we deal with the work we're doing with our agencies? You know, I mean, it's like all this change is just, I mean, it's exciting. It holds so much promise, but it's difficult. So you really do have to respect the change management dimension of that. And I think that's something we're going to, you know, be wrestling with, quite frankly, for this next decade.
Got you. Well, that's covered the future and the challenge. So thanks for that. Much appreciated. What tools or products do you think are worth focusing on then in MarTech to help us with that challenge moving forward? What should we be doubling down on and why?
So I think for that challenge, this is where I'm a very strong advocate for agile management practices, you know, and there's certainly a bunch of tools out there now that can help you with those practices. You had mentioned Trello earlier, right? I mean, using Trello is like a kind of a Kanban board in, you know, agile management. I think, yeah, I mean, that's anything you can do that basically helps you evolve the people and process side of making marketing successful, I think that's a good investment.
Agile is all about speed, isn't it, mostly, Scott, I think, with regards to how to operate and how, you know, to sort of test things quickly and efficiently.
Yeah, I might tweak it just a little bit and say, I think Agile is mostly about adaptation. Right, it's about saying like, okay, I'm in an environment where I might not necessarily have the answer, and I need to be able to, this is where the fast comes in, relatively quickly iterate and learn, okay, what's working, what isn't working, you know, where can I, you know, best put my investment of time and resources and energy. So, I think Agile helps companies be a little bit more adaptive. And in today's environment, that's a really powerful advantage to have.
Absolutely. And actually, it's surprising how few companies do actually utilize Agile, although I think it is a growing trend in marketing spheres in general. I think a lot of people are aware of it, but they're not necessarily able to adapt or utilize it just yet. But having done my research, I know that you have a book that might assist them with this, Scott. Is it Hacking Marketing that you brought out with Wiley back in 2016?
Yeah, yes, indeed. It's almost like we planned it that way. But
sorry, that's my research, not Scott's lead.
Thank you, though.
So when can we next see you, Scott? You come out and do speaking events in the UK quite often. I do see that you're travelling around. So when's your next hit in London? When will we be able to catch you and where?
Oh, that's a great question. I don't know at the moment, but I'm sure I will be over there this year. And I always keep my chiefmartech.com website up to date. So,
that's right. Them. Only about 40,000 readers on that now, isn't there? Or what's the latest number?
Yeah, probably more than that at this point. It's who knew that marketing technology would become a thing?
Well, who knew? 7,000 companies and counting. We need you at the forefront of this, Scott, to help us get our brains around what's out there and how to make the most of it. So please do keep doing what you're doing and keep sharing your findings and insight, because I personally find it really interesting and very useful. And also would like to take the opportunity to say thank you for sharing your insights and expertise and helping us who are trying to carve out marketing careers understand a bit more about MarTech and what those opportunities might look like.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I love this space. It's fascinating. I'm so excited to watch what marketers are doing as they continue to grow with all these new possibilities.
Fantastic. Thanks ever so much for your time, Scott.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thanks.
So there you have it. Career advice from a real marketing expert and leader in the field. Thanks for listening. If you're enjoying this podcast, then please leave us a review in iTunes. We'd love to hear your feedback.